this was the goal. Like, the goal was for her to get out of the house and stand on her own 2 feet. Since she was a toddler, I used to tell people, I'm not here to raise a child. I'm here to raise an adult.
You're listening to the Mother of Reinvention Show, a weekly podcast about midlife motherhood, careers, health, relationships, and more. I'm Megan Francis, a 40-something mom of 5 kids ages teen to young adult. Listen each Thursday as I bring you an interview with an inspiring mother of reinvention, plus some of my thoughts about wellness, self-care, relationships and divorce, big kid parenting, and more. It's all at motherofreinventionshow.com. Keep listening for another episode of the Mother of Reinvention Show. It's what's next for midlife moms. My middle son, Will, graduates from high school just a few days after the release of this episode, and he's heading off to college in the fall. And while he's my third child to graduate high school, and the oldest two boys have both gone off on their own and gone to school, Will's actually the first one to take the traditional route of heading off to university right after high school. Not only that, but he's going about 8 hours away in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, in a place that's really not easy to access by plane or a car for a large part of the year. So this is a very different experience from what I've had so far as a mom, and it's also really going to shift the balance for me to where I'll now have more kids out of the house moving on with their adult lives than I still do at home. And I'm having some feelings about it. I'm really excited for Will, but it's going to change things a lot. So I was excited to bring back Karen Walrond to the show. Karen is an author, activist, lawyer, photographer, and leadership coach, and you may remember her from season 1, talking about being an activist without losing your optimism. Karen is also the mom of Alex, who you heard her talking about at the beginning of the episode. Alex also just graduated high school a couple of weeks ago and will be heading to Chicago in the fall to go to college. Since Karen and her husband live in Texas, that's quite a distance for her daughter to travel. But Karen's really looking forward to her daughter having this experience, and we had so much fun talking about college-aged kids and reminiscing about our own college days. Keep listening to hear my conversation with Karen Walrond on the Mother of Reinvention Show. Hi, Karen. Thanks so much for being back on the show.
Oh my gosh, it's always such a thrill to be around you. So thank you for having me.
Well, I am so excited about this because I have been watching on your socials as you've been sort of preparing your high school senior for graduation and beyond. And I also have a high school senior who is getting ready for graduation and beyond. And I know a lot of our listeners have kids in that age range, either young adults or kind of rising high schoolers. So I would love to just talk about what this process has been like for you. So tell us about your senior.
Our Alex, my Alex. Oh my gosh. So, you know, golly, this is an exciting time, isn't it? Mm. I'm just so excited about it. So she is a senior. Today, actually, as we record this, is her very last day of high school. She, wow. I just sent her off to high school. So the theory is that she leaves a high school senior and will come back a college freshman, kind of, right? Except for graduation this weekend. She is 18 and she is off to the School of the Art Institute of Chicago in the fall. Wow. To study graphic design, and preferably graphic design and activism is kind of her thing. She's funny. I actually beg her often not to go to college at all and just stay home and make me laugh. She is very smart. She's graduating, you know, near the top of her class. She's done really well. She's an athlete. She's just the best. And also, one of the things that I think, you know, I mean, I know I sound like, you know, the proud mom, but one of the things,
you can sound
which is
like
fine,
a proud mom.
I hope so. But I will say that Alex was adopted, and there is something, I've never given birth, so I don't know. I don't know what it's like to raise a child who is genetically tied to you, but there's something that sort of feels a bit like a spectator as an adoptive mom, right? Because there's no sort of, there's no DNA ego attached. Like, I can't look at her and go, oh, she inherited. That is, I know what gene that is.
Right.
That gene came from me or for father. And it's been such a wonderful audience member almost to watch the Alex show kind of unroll, you know? And so I'm just so thrilled. I'm so thrilled.
I love that because it's like, you can really, in a way, let her be her own person because it's not, it doesn't really reflect on you in quite the same way as it might.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I, for sure, I'm from the Caribbean. And so all of us West Indian parents think our children reflect on us. I don't care how they got
Well, of course, then they do. I mean, we all have an impact no matter.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, but for sure, like I really sort of look at her skills and talents as something that she sort of brought to our family. It wasn't something that was, you know, like latent in our family that sort of came forth in her genetically. Like
or
that
some
just
genetic
happen.
Potential that you're like, when is it going to show up? Like, when is that going to come out?
Yeah. It's not my genes. It's her birth parents' genes, right? It's not mine, which is really sort of fun.
That is really fun. Well, what was that college choice process like in your house?
Well, so here's what's interesting. So both my husband and I are immigrants to the United States. I did go to college here in the U.S. My husband went to college, but did not finish college, right? I went to college and grad school here in the United States. So I have 2 degrees. He has none. And his framework for understanding what the college application process was like is he had none, right? He applied in England. He's British and it's so different in England than it is here. Although, by the way, we did apply in England because our daughter has British citizenship through him. So we did apply to some schools there and we applied to schools here in the US. And my husband's like, whatever happens, you know, if you go to college, you know,
you're
of course we want
like
you to college
anymore.
Right. Yeah. And me, you know, the black, and my husband, by the way, is also a white man. Right.
Right.
So me, the black woman immigrant is like, by God, you're going to college, kid. And our daughter is Afro Latina. So, I'm like, oh no, you're going to college. You're going to college. So I was really the one in our family who was kind of, you know, we got to get everything going. And I was the one that sort of helped her with her essays and that kind of thing. But I will say that I did not have any say in the universities that she applied to. Okay. I was like, you do you. Like, we'll figure it out. I want you to apply wherever you want to go. I guess in some ways I was like if she suggested a school that I thought would not be academically challenging enough for her, I would have said something, right? I'd have been like, yeah, I don't know about that school. But she applied all over the country and again in the UK. And one of the schools she applied to, which will remain nameless for now, it was in Chicago where she's going to end up, but it's not the school she's going to. And she applied to the school purely because of the strength of a TikTok video somebody had shared of their dorm room, right?
Oh my goodness.
Like they had this amazing dorm room and she was like, oh, that's where I'm going. I'm going to that dorm. So as it happened, of course, you know, COVID and everything else, we didn't really have a lot of opportunity to go visit universities. But this past spring break, numbers were looking okay. And we got a flyer from this school saying they were having an open house. And it happened to be, I think it was on her spring break or one weekend. It was some weekend. And I thought, you know what? Let's just go. Chicago's a great town, right? I love Chicago. We went. The open house was great. The facilities were amazing. But there was a lot of stuff about the school that was a little concerning. And the main one was that the teachers, the professors were about to go on strike is what was happening.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but Alex fell in love with Chicago and everybody, and I have friends in Chicago and they were all like, yeah, I wouldn't go to this particular school. And one of them actually lectured at this school and was like, yeah, I wouldn't go to this school. And she said to me, Alex said to me, she goes, you know, I feel like everybody's trying to talk me out of Chicago. And I said, you know, Chicago's an amazing town. Like it's a beautiful town. I don't care if you go to Chicago, but I think you would love it, but I don't think you should go to this school. And she goes, well, I wish I had applied to a different art school because she wants to do graphic design. And I said, we're there in Chicago when this is happening, right? So I said, well, let's Google. Like, let's see if there's other things. And of course, the School of the Art Institute shows up and we had no idea like what an impressive place it was. Okay. And so I was like, you know what? I think this is a great school. Like it's got an international reputation. So if you want to go to grad school in England, like, you know, and we looked it up and the deadline was the Monday. We were flying back Sunday. The deadline was Monday. And so we flew back and she got her crap together that Sunday night. I'm calling the school, her high school, and saying, please, can you get her transcripts there tomorrow? The deadline is tomorrow. Ow. And 3 weeks later, she got accepted. So it was a really weird thing because it was a school that wasn't on our radar.
But isn't that how it sometimes just works? Like that amazing kismet and that, you know, chance, and like you weren't there for that, but she still wound up in Chicago, which is, you know, you're in Texas and I'm not a geography expert, but that's not close by. It's not close by.
Yeah. What about yours? You have a senior. What about your senior?
So he's going to a school up. He's going to a state school in the very far reaches of northern Michigan. So in the Upper Peninsula. Are you familiar? Are you not from this area, but have you been there?
I am not from the area, but I do know that there's like the mitten of, and then there's the little upper part, right? That's the lower and there's the upper part. Yeah.
Yep. And so I actually was born and grew up there. And he's going to be in Marquette at a school called Northern Michigan. It's one of the state schools and it's on Lake Superior. And it was a very, like the decision was very, sort of random and fast, I would say. Like he had like a list of schools he was thinking of applying to. And then I think he really wasn't into doing something that was a little higher pressure, higher, I don't know, more competitive. And so a couple schools got knocked off his list like late in his junior year. And then he loves Lake Superior. He loves the UP, which is what we call it.
I need to learn that since my daughter will be up in that area now too.
And she can drive up. I mean, it's beautiful up there and it's not far. It is like a far drive from Chicago, but relatively speaking, she could
not as far as it is from Texas. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And it's gorgeous. Like it's a good place to go get off the grid for a few days. But Marquette is this cool, like very hip city, small city, sort of in the middle of nothing, like old mining towns that have been shut down for, you know, decades and decades and things like that. And look, wilderness. There's just so much wilderness up there. The UP actually, size wise, I think is bigger than the Lower Peninsula, but the population is a fraction. So, so he applied, he liked them. They came to his school and talked. He's going to be a teacher. So he liked their education program.
Oh, awesome.
He liked the people who came and talked to them. It is funny what will sell a kid, like the TikTok dorm. I just got the feeling, he likes that it's a small enough school that he can just kind of do a lot of different things. He's he's definitely a really social kid who likes to be involved and join. He's a joiner, but never really like, you know, never became like the star athlete or, so he likes the idea that there's going to be things he can try. Like if he wants to join the rugby team or the lacrosse team, which he never has had a chance to do because those weren't offered at his current school, high school. He can do that there because why not?
Oh, that's fun.
It's almost like intramural sport because it's such a small school. So anyway, he got accepted and then was like, I think I'm good. And I thought, well, okay. I mean, if you're good, I'm good. I have no complaints and, you know, no objections. I think that it's so funny how your kids know themselves, but then like there's, like you said, there is sometimes that guidance part you have to put in. Like they know themselves to a point, but it's also like I had to say, okay, so here's what's great about Northern, and I'm glad that you feel settled. Here's what you might experience at a different school. And he thought about it and then was like, nope, I think I'm good. So that's where we're headed. What's interesting is...
Can I just say how much I love the fact that your son is going to be a teacher? I feel like there's not enough boy teachers. I love that.
Well, there's not enough teachers at all right now.
Well, that's true. Yes.
Yeah. He had talked to... But there, I think you're right. And he wants to be a middle school... either math or a social studies teacher. Now, funny, a year ago, he was given advice like, well, it's harder to be a teacher as a social studies teacher. They're not as in demand. And a lot of times like, that's what the coaches end up being. So you know football coaches are always like social studies teachers. It's kind of a stereotype, but for a reason. So he was thinking, you know, something more in demand. But this year, some of those same teacher friends have said, you know what, Will, you'll be fine. There's such a shortage right now. Like do whatever you want to do. So he's going to double major.
Awesome.
Yeah. So he's excited about that. And I think it's funny that even though he's going to be in Michigan, it's still like a 10 or 12 hour drive from here. I think 10.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So it's like he's going away for college.
He's going away. And I think that was I think a lot of his friends are going to be a couple hours from their home. And I think he really wanted to just strike out and do something totally different from what most of his friends are doing. So
that's awesome.
It's cool and it's fun to watch. And man, it brings back memories. I have to ask you, first of all, when you were like touring campuses, were you having any flashbacks of your college days? And are there any things you hope that Alex will do or take advantage of that maybe you didn't, or maybe that you did? Like, how do you want her experience to kind of reflect yours and then not reflect yours?
Well, her college experience, even the application process, is so different from mine. So yeah. I went to Texas A&M University here in Texas, and I came to Texas my senior year of high school. As a matter of fact, I came here having graduated from my high school in Trinidad, yeah. but I was very young. And so I colleges wouldn't accept me. I was 16. And so colleges wouldn't have accepted me because I was too young. So I went back to high school to do a senior year at 16 and went to college at 17. And I literally landed in the United States like the week before school started. So I hadn't taken the SATs like everybody had. And, you know, so I was really sort of playing catch up. And I applied to a bunch of universities outside of Texas. But going to a Texas high school, everybody was applying to A&M or University of Texas. And one very good friend of mine, a guy who became one of my closest friends, he said, oh, you should apply to A&M. You should come to A&M. And so I applied, really not intending to go. And I ended up getting a full ride, which was lovely. And so my dad, I could see his eyes light up when that happened. So I was like, Texas A&M it is. And I loved A&M, but it's a very, I think it is, I just looked it up the other day. Nowadays, I think it is the largest university in the United States. It's like 70,000 kids, right? It's in a small town, College Station, Texas, where really the only thing to do in College Station is go to Texas A&M, right? Like that's... you know, everything, all the businesses are you know, are all...
I mean, the town is called College Station.
Exactly, right? So it's like
it
literally...
for this purpose.
Everything is branded. Everything is maroon and white. Like, everything is Texas A&M, which as a student, as a, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-old, it's amazing, right? Because the whole town is about your life.
Talk about inflating your sense of, you know...
Oh, my gosh, right? Like, and A&M, by the way, is such a... It's a very tradition. Like, everything they do is tradition. Like, we have specific yells we yell, and every part of the campus has a tradition. So if you're a really scared freshman, it's a really sort of lovely place, and especially a scared freshman who's, by the way, fresh off the boat, right? Like a brand new immigrant. It's a really safe, soft landing spot, right? As opposed to my daughter, who is now going to be going to an art school that... really, the campus is the city. It's Chicago, right? What is that? The third largest city in the country. And, you know, her dorm is at a skyscraper on the middle of one of the busy streets. And so it's, there's a part of me that is like, I wish she was having sort of the campus experience that I had in some ways, but you know, what she doesn't know won't hurt her.
Right.
So she's very, and she's a big city girl. She said that we looked at other schools that were in smaller towns that were college towns, and she had no desire to do that. So she's a smart kid. She'll be fine. The only time I felt a little bit nervous was there was a shooting recently in Chicago. And that, you know, and it was basically in Millennium Park, which is like her quad, right? Like, yeah. And I was like, that made me a little bit nervous. But, you know, nowadays everywhere is dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, what are you going to do? But I'm not, I think it'll be really interesting for her. It's just going to be a totally different experience from mine. So what about you?
So when I think back to like my first day of college, and I went to a state school that was not super far from home, but felt I had never really been very far from home. So it felt so far. And it was big, like I think 25,000 people or something like that. So pretty big. And I just remember I did room with a friend. So I knew my roommate. And I just remember like the first day us sitting looking at each other in the dorm room and the feeling. I don't think I've replicated that feeling my whole life of just complete freedom and possibility. Like I could do anything. This is a brand new place. I don't know anybody. This is my life. Like this is the beginning of my life. So that I think I had a lot of fun. I don't know that I took advantage of everything the way I could have, but I didn't know any better. You know, you look back now and you're like, oh man, you had it made. Like everywhere you look, there was some club for you, like designed for you, experience, cheap tickets to everything. Like the world was made for me as a student and I just didn't know any better. I didn't really know how to take advantage of that. And I wish that I had. So I hope that Will does. I hope he tries everything, a little of everything. And he seems like he's going to jump in with both feet. And I think that that's really cool. On the other hand, I also had fun kind of like just being a little more anonymous and not joining everything and hanging with my roommate and her like cousins lived off campus. And they were older and like, I mean, it was just kind of cool. And I do not regret the times that I did had. It's just like, oh, you know, well, maybe there was more I could have, like, maybe I could have really grabbed it a little more.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the thing that I think is so interesting as I watch Alex do this, and I'm sure you're seeing the same thing with Will, is like, I graduated, I went to college in the mid 80s, right? Which feels like ancient times, right? And watching, like, I didn't know my roommate when I was, when I went to college. I lived on campus and I was matched with a woman who I ended up living with for 2 years, but we didn't know each other. We met when we moved in on move-in day. Whereas like my daughter has already like been on sort of a social thing and she's found somebody and she's, and they've been sort of FaceTiming and they've put each other down as potentially each other's room. This is a young woman from Kentucky, I think. So like nowhere near. And it's, to me, it's so interesting. All of the tools that, that they have now for connecting and figuring out what's going on. She can find out more about things on campus and what that looks like and what they're, what, you know, like the YouTube videos of people doing things on campus. And it's so much more grounding ahead of time that we just didn't have, right? When we went to college.
Yeah, I think Will's been finding people on Snapchat that he is like already connecting with. And he's already, he's like, yeah, I already talked to a guy that's like on the rugby team. I'm like, you're not even there yet. How? And it's, I mean, everything from the financial aid process and all of that, like there's been so many connection points and so many ways to make it easier, but it's gotten more complicated too. That's the other side of it. I just remember in the mid 90s, like I filled out a paper, I guess I like gave it, I think, to my guidance counselor. I don't really even remember how this worked, but then I showed up at school and I had a card that I could get my books with. And like, so it all happened somehow. And I know it was more complicated than that, probably more complicated for my parents. It's just my memory of it was very streamlined. It was like, once I was on that path, I just did the thing in front of me. And now it feels like there's a lot more handholding. I think he's constantly getting emails and texts from the people at the school reminding him about like, do this, do that, do this, do that. And I'm getting the same messages. So I'm like, wait, are these for me? Like, am I supposed to be doing these? Or am I just supposed to know that this is a thing he's supposed to be doing? And it's sometimes hard at this stage. Like in high school there, you know, I had to ask different sport teams like my kids have been on to stop emailing me the practice times because I was like, I didn't join the swim team. This isn't on, I'm not the one. This isn't on me. So please take me off the list and just deal with my kid. But there is that expectation that we're going to be so actively involved still at this stage. And then suddenly it's supposed to like flip like a switch. That's hard. It's just hard to kind of wrap your brain around.
Yeah. Are you ready?
I think so. I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready. I want to take a quick break because when we get back, I want to talk about like what this is going to be like to send them off. I know you're sending Alex quite a long distance and you're going to have an empty house, which is different for me. Okay. So let's take a quick break and we'll talk about that when we get back. Hi, friends. I love sharing my favorite products. So if you want to see some of the things I'm using now, head to my More Faves page. It's at morefaves.com. That's M-O-R faves with an E.com. And if you ever want to make a suggestion of one of your favorite things, I love hearing recommendations too. Just email me at hello@motherofreinventionshow.com. Check out my faves at morefaves.com. Okay, back to the interview. Okay, Karen. So I feel like I saw maybe on your, I don't know, Facebook a while back after you had talked about Alex choosing a college in Chicago, again, not super close to Texas. And I think you were kind of saying, no, 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 it's okay. I'm not sad about this. I don't remember exactly what you were saying, but did you, did people really assume that you were like crying in your pillow about her being so far away? And how do you feel about it?
100% That's what people were thinking. And it was really, really fun. Like it was, I mean, I was probably pretty testy in that thing and I really try hard not to be testy online, but so I was sharing, I think that she had turned 18 and then I shared that she was going, you know, that we were in Chicago. And then what was really interesting about Alex's school is they had a day where we could go and actually register for her classes. So she's registered, like she has her courses already. So I went and I was showing pictures of, you know, her walking around Chicago and you know, like all this stuff. And I'm like, look, and then I think I put one picture of my husband and I that said the soon to be empty nesters. And we're smiling, right? Like it's just the two of us. Yeah. And people were like, hugs mama, and how's your heart?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, what? Like, what do you, y'all know this was the goal, right?
Right.
Like it was, so I am fine. I like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm not going to miss my kid. Obviously I'm going to miss my kid. And I have a running joke with her right now where I'm like, you know, University of Phoenix has online courses. You don't have to go. You can stay home with me and just keep making me laugh. But no, this was the goal. Like the goal was for her to get out of the house and stand on her own two feet. I, you know, since she was a toddler, I used to tell people, I'm not here to raise a child. I'm here to raise an adult. Mm. Like the goal is for her to be off. And I'm here if she needs me always forever till, you know, the day I die. But this is the goal. And so I have at this point, I have nothing but joy and excitement and anticipation. I am sure the day that I drop her off in the dorm that I'm going to have a lot of other emotions come up. But
of course.
But right now I am good. I'm great. How about you?
Well, it's funny because I have two older boys who are adults, but they have both left the house in very different ways. I was going like right in the middle of a divorce when my oldest was like his first year out of school and then out of high school. And then he went and like lived in with my sister for a while. Then he went and lived in LA for a while with my stepbrother. And so he's bounced all over the place. And it's never really felt like he's going away. It's like he goes for a while, comes back for a while. Now he's in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
He goes for a while, he comes back for a while. Then my second son went and actually worked like about an hour away and was like going to community college. Then he kept coming back and going and coming back. The two of them, like 3 days after New Year's this year, one got on a bus and one got on a plane and one went to Wyoming and the other one went to Pennsylvania. Just like, that felt hard. Like I was like, wait, why are you both leaving basically on the same day? And now it doesn't feel like they're coming back. Like it's just, it had a very
making their lives.
They're making their lives. It had a very different vibe to it. And so now I think it feels really symbolic that my third is going to leave because that leaves me with just two kids in the house. And it felt like that change happened really fast. Like I went from being a house of big people coming and going and like a lot of people to basically like me and my daughter and son. And so I can see it coming. It's like speeding up. So that feels a little, I don't know, like twitchy, you know, like a little uncomfortable. I think I'll probably cry when Will goes off because he's just like the most, I guess, reliable kid. He's just always been such a presence in the house and like a kind of like the man of the house. He just has really taken on that role. And I think it'll be sad to watch him go, but not really sad, you know, like you, like, oh, look at this. He's not going to be nearby and I won't be able to joke around with him every day. And that makes me sad. But at the same time, look at, he gets to go off and do this and have this life. And that's amazing for him. And I can't wait to go visit him and hang out on campus. We're going up there in July for orientation. And I'm so excited. Like it feels a little bit like going back to college for me. And I am not staying in the dorms. I'm going to get a hotel. But at the same, I think the parents can stay in the dorms. And I thought, that's okay. No, thanks. No, thank you. yeah, exactly. But I'm just really looking forward to that vibe. And I agree. Like it would be weird and worse if they never went anywhere or did anything. So, So I'm excited.
As you were talking, I was thinking the other thing I think I had a very unusual, as you were talking about your oldest son sort of moving and coming back. I had a pretty unusual childhood that way as well. So when I was 14, we were living in Trinidad. My parents and my sister lived basically in a fishing village, but my dad was an oil company executive, and the production was in this fishing village, right? Offshore of this fishing village. And so they lived there. I went to a school in the city, which was about 2 hours drive away. So I lived with my grandparents and lived with them for 2 years. And then we moved to America. We moved to Houston. And then, so I lived with my parents for a year and then I was off to college. So I had really sort of been living on my own not on my own. I mean, I was with my grandparents, but living separate from my nuclear family since I was 14. And I think that because of that, I don't have a whole lot of, sentimentality maybe is the word. I'm not sure what it is with Alex. Like, you know, I remain very close to my parents. My parents live, you know, half a mile away right now. So, so I guess I feel like it doesn't feel like an ending too much right. for me. Like it, and also I loved college. I really loved college. And so I'm so excited about Alex, like starting this, right? This yeah. on her life, you know, I'm yeah. really excited about it. Now I will say, I suspect also it's different because our family is so small.
Yeah.
Right. The fact that you've probably had however many years of noise and children's voices
and
you
know, decades. Like,
right.
Two
exactly.
Half,
yes. Right?
My entire adult
in
life.
Your house,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Where with just the three of us, just been the three of us. Yeah. Right. And there, there hasn't been that sort of noise of children playing, right. Like it's yeah. been the three of us and yeah, it's going to be sort of weird that it'll be just the two of us again. Like that's a little weird, but and
the change isn't as drastic though, for sure.
But the change is not as drastic. And especially like you're saying, like, I can see the end coming. Like I imagine that's huge. And especially as a single parent, right? Yeah. Like that's really, really a much more drastic shift.
It's more life changing for me. I think yeah. it's not so much about missing my kid or wishing that yes. that particular kid was around. And honestly, you know, the world has shrunk in such a way, that you're just a plane ride away. Like it's not going to be hard for you to get up to visit, and you've got FaceTime, you've got, you know, yeah. text, you've got yeah, yeah. all these ways to stay in touch. And kids at that age, I mean, they don't like, we right. become furniture, right. you know, we become like, it can almost be a bummer to yeah. realize how irrelevant you become kind of at that stage anyway. So wouldn't you rather be irrelevant in a different state? I don't know.
Exactly. Well, you know, I will say, so one of the schools, my daughter was looking at was Falmouth University in Falmouth, England, which is basically on the southwest coast of England. And my husband is from there. So we had family there. And we went to see it a few years ago when we were visiting family. And it's a lovely university. But I realized then, I was like, this is far away. And also, it's like you land in London and then it's like a 5-hour train ride or, you know, a 5 or 6 hour drive to get there. And then I was like, OK, here's the rule. You can't go anywhere that's not a nonstop flight.
Yeah.
Away. I said, I don't care. Like you can go to London, you can go anywhere, like, but it needs to be a nonstop flight that if I need to get to you, I can land and basically be in town.
Yeah.
And the beauty of Chicago is not only is it only a 2-hour flight away, it's a 2-hour flight from Houston's smaller airport to Chicago's smaller airport, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so it really does almost feel commuter. And there's multiple flights a day between Houston and Chicago. So
do you fly into Midway? Is that where
yes,
you fly? Oh,
sure.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, which is really nice. And then, yeah. you know, we fly out of Hobby here, which is the smaller airport. And so it's you know, it's Southwest Airlines, which is just, you know, it's almost commuter. Mike, yeah. it's the bus of the skies,
it
right?
Is.
So
and yeah, that's nice. I try to fly whenever I can. I try to fly direct on Southwest out of Midway yeah. and just get where you're going. Just get there and you're
yeah, just get
there. You
so
are.
It does feel, yeah. it does feel like, I mean, it could have been a lot farther
yeah.
is what I'm saying. Yeah. This doesn't feel as far as it could have been. And also Texas, you fly everywhere in Texas anyway, because right. it's so huge. So.
Right, exactly. Do you find that there are, I mean, really good point that it's been a quiet household anyway. It's only been the three yeah. of you and Alex has been older for quite some time now. So it's not like you've had an infant anytime
right.
recently.
Right.
So
right.
do you think that you and your husband's life will change much? Are you and Marcus going to start traveling more? Or do you think it's just going to kind of be just like you are now, but just quieter?
Yeah. Well, I will say that, you know, first of all, let me just say that I still like my husband, which is really great. That's right. Nice. You know, after we will be married 20 years this year. But I imagine it's going to be different, right? Like we haven't been just a couple
right.
for many years. Right. And we, you know, we've had this sort of joint project of raising our daughter. That's really coming to an end at this point, right? Like we're going from really parents to her to mentors to her, right? More than anything else. So yes, that's going to be a change. I would love to say that we're going to travel a lot. Travel is sort of one of the values of our family. The truth is that Alex's school is really expensive. So I don't, you know, I mean, if we're going to do travel, maybe it's going to be local. Like yeah. there's probably not going to be a whole lot of like,
well, there's a
lot
to do in
travel.
The Midwest. You could just fly in to see Alex and then tool around, come see me. I'm only a couple hours away.
There you go. yeah. So, yeah. But I mean, I, you know, ideally I would love to go,
we'd go back and we haven't seen Marcus's family in a few years because of the pandemic. So we probably would shoot over and do that. And then there's like places in Canada that we haven't seen, you know, that I've been to Canada a lot. My husband hasn't. And so, yeah, so I hopefully, and we can, you know, and the best part is that we're not beholden to an academic calendar anymore. Right. So we can go in October somewhere if we wanted to. Yes. It's crazy.
You can go when nobody else is going anywhere. Exactly. And take advantage of that. Yeah,
exactly. So that's the hope. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap up, I want to talk. So the last time you were on the show, you were about to release your book, The Lightmaker's Manifesto. And that was a whole thing. I mean, and I know that process of getting a book out the door and promoting it is a lot. And now you're working on a new book. Tell us a little bit about that.
I am. So The Lightmaker's Manifesto is about the intersection of joy and activism, which was truly a joy to write because I interviewed a lot of people, a lot of activists who were doing amazing things. It really sort of helped distill some of their wisdom in this book. And so now, because I am, you know, going toward this huge new milestone time of life where, you know, my daughter's going off to college. I turned 55 this summer. You know, my husband and I are going back to being a couple. And so I'm writing a book about joyful aging because I'm actually, as you can tell, I'm very excited about what's to come. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the world.
I'm picturing you rubbing your hands together like with glee.
There is a lot of that. Yeah. There really is a lot of that. And, you know, and the world, we sort of talked about it. The world is sort of telling me that I shouldn't be, right? Like I should be sad that my daughter's leaving. I should be feeling a sense of
your life,
loss and grief. Yeah. And God, you know, far less that I'm 50. I'm going to look, can I tell you, I was looking up on thesaurus.com, I think it was, or just Googling like synonyms for midlife. Yeah. Oh my God. So the first one that came up was, I think it was Merriam-Webster. It was one of the resources that said a synonym is the wrong side of 40. And then I kept looking and they said also, decrepitude was one.
Oh, my
and,
goodness.
Afterlife, like how is midlife and afterlife?
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, this is horrifying to me because my experience is that I'm very excited about it. I talk to people, friends of mine who are, you know, let's just say within 10 years on either side of me, and they're all happy with their lives. They're excited. They're doing. And I'm like, where did this sort of societal idea that things start to go downhill come? Yeah. And what my friends and I are experiencing are exactly the opposite. And in fact, I hear more people lament getting older who are in their 30s than I do people my age.
I was very obsessive about my age in my 30s. Very comparative, like very looking at other women and what they had achieved or how they looked, like a lot of that in my 30s. And the other day I'm like, oh, I'm almost 45 and I guess I just lost track. Like I forgot. I forgot that I'm getting older. I mean, this is the time of life where we have more time. We have more money. We have a better sense of who we are. I think,
Kids are leaving the house.
Kids are leaving the house. Yep. And in particular, women, I think, are in a great shape health-wise. Like if we're taking care of ourselves, there's just more time for that. So I'm excited about it, honestly. Yeah.
And so that's really what the book is about. It's about sort of this idea that, that things, like there's an expansion that sort of happens, right? Like not a constriction, which I think is what people think happens.
Yeah.
But what actually happens is the exact opposite. There's this full expansion of, you know, of a horizon of opportunity and potentiality and everything. And so that's what the book's about.
I love it. Are you going to be, do you have a publisher for it yet? Or do you know?
Okay. No, it's the same publisher. Yeah. So they came back and said, let's do another book. So it's Broadleaf Books and they're wonderful. So
when will that,
I'm really excited to work with them. Oh,
a while.
Gosh, I got to write it. I think my deadline, is November this year.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be sometime sort of late next year. Yeah.
And I've noticed on your Instagram that you've posted kind of a lot in the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months to a year about letting your hair go gray, which I have loved following along. Now, was that one of those COVID happened and you just didn't get into the salon for a while and then you're like, cool, I'll just go with it? Or was it more intentional?
Well, no, I mean, basically I'm a pretty low maintenance person anyway. And so I had been dyeing my own hair and like just, you know, slapping some color on and that was about it. And, And I was, you know, I mean, I could see the gray coming in, but it was sort of kind of coming in polka dotty. Like it was okay. Sort of like one spot here. And, right. And I was like, this is stupid. I'm just going to keep dyeing it. And I thought, I'll just dye it until it comes in more evenly.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I was like dyeing it every 6 weeks. And I'm like, this is stupid. Why am I doing this? So I thought, it's time. So I went for the big chop. I had big hair and I cut it all off so that I didn't want the gradual. Like some people can do that and do it well. And I was like, no, let's just, you know, go cold turkey. So I cut it off and it's really funny. It's pretty gray now. It's probably 50%, I think. I actually weirdly look more gray in photographs than in real life for some reason. I don't know what the camera does that, but yeah. It's about 50%, I would say, 50 to 60%. And reactions are so interesting to me. Like nobody, it used to be nobody believed my age. Everybody was like, are you really? You look 10 years younger kind of thing. Now people believe my age, right? Yeah. Like what I say.
Well, hair is a tell, you know, and it's a tell. And it's a thing that we associate with age. And even though it's not really a tell anymore, because you've got women in their 20s who are gray.
Right,
and,
yes, exactly. You know,
but it's people still think
but it's
of it
a tell.
That. Yeah.
But what's interesting is I feel like people, like there's two reactions. One from everybody, especially maybe even young men, is I get treated with a lot more respect, sort of like I get treated like an elder kind of thing, right. Which is a really interesting thing, because what do I know?
Like
they sort of treat me that way. And then the other thing is I get a lot, almost, well, I wouldn't say daily because I don't leave my house with the pandemic. But if I am in public, I get a lot of compliments. Like I get a lot of women saying, I love your hair. I've had a lot of people say, are you dyeing your hair like that? And I'm like, oh God, that's way more work than, you know, yeah. Like, no, it grows out of my head this way. Which is really interesting. I did not expect that. And I'm growing it out again. So my goal is to have a gigantic, huge silver afro in a year or so. So that
will make an amazing book bio headshot.
Yeah. And I think when I'm promoting the book on aging, it'd be really cool to have this sort of crazy, huge silver afro. I think that would be awesome. So we'll see.
I was talking to my boyfriend, partner, whatever you call someone when you're 45 and they're your significant other. And I was saying something like, ooh, you know, what I really want to have is we saw this place that had these little glass, like greenhouse, but they were like a she shed. You know what I mean? Like you could buy them on a lot and they're like Amish made, you know, little.
Yeah.
So, and this one was like half glass. It was so beautiful. And I was like, oh, I want that so much. And I would use it as and he's like, oh yeah, okay, that'd be great. And I was like, and I would use it like as a cross between like a writing studio and a potting shed. He's like, okay, cool. And I'm like, and then I'd have a mortar and pestle and I'd be grinding herbs. And he's like, okay. And then and then I'd be making concoctions and my hair would grow with this like long white streak. And he's like, this is just getting really weird. But by the end, I had basically fantasized myself into basically just being a witch with huge, you know, gray, like really unruly hair and like probably a cat curled up by my feet. I don't know. It was so funny to watch his face as it went from like, as he was trying to process the information that I kept adding in. And so that's what I'm picturing you just having this enormous kind of, you know, like a really, it could be a nice, neat, well coiffed afro, but maybe there's something in it.
That.
I was going to say, that's like, that makes it a little off.
Yeah, no,
like
I want it huge. I want it really exactly. Like, no, I want it kind of crazy and huge. And yeah, I mean, and there's the thing is like, I really feel like if we let it happen, we get to our strongest the older and older that we get. And I feel like that sort of having this out of control hair is going to make me feel like I'm really standing in that power, right? Mm-hmm. Like that there's something about, you know, big, wild, joyful, crazy hair would be awesome.
Crazy crony hair.
Yeah.
Crazy crony hair. I love it.
Crazy crony hair. I'm for it, man. Wait, y'all ain't ready. That's all I'm saying.
I will be following along on the Instagram. How about that?
You do. Thank you.
Well, Karen, this has been so great. I know when this drops, you will have a graduate and I will, I'm dropping this episode a couple of days before Will graduates. So we will be like right in the middle between your graduate and mine. And the fall is going to be such an exciting time in both of our homes. I'm just really grateful to you for getting on the call with me. I know this is a busy time for you. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. I'm so flattered. I always love spending time with you. It is a joyful time whenever I'm with you. So thank you for having me.
Ditto, ditto. And pretty soon, Alex will be kind of my neighbor. I can wave at her across Lake Michigan and I'll come have lunch with you sometime when you're in the city.
I may have her like call Auntie Megan if she needs any help here. Yeah, so absolutely. Just be ready.
I'm just a quick drive away. So we'll keep her in mind. I love it, Karen. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the Mother of Reinvention show. As a reminder, I would love to hear from you. Just send me an email at hello@motherofreinventionshow.com and let me know what you're thinking about the podcast. I'll be back next Thursday with another episode, and I'll talk to you then.